morning, everyone. Welcome back to TCI Radio. Today, it's our honor to have Tim James MP, the Shadow Minister for Fair Trading, Work Health and Safety, Building and Local Government Veterans, and a member for Willoughbys. Good morning, Tim. It's happy to have you today again.
各位听众大家好，欢迎大家回来收听 TCI 澳洲中文广播电台。我们今天很高兴能够邀请到 Willoughby 选区的州议员，同时也是新州影子公平交易、职业安全、建筑和地方政府以及退伍军人影子部长 Tim James 来到我们的访问当中。你好啊 Tim， 好高兴能够再次邀请到来到我们的访问当中。
It's a joy to be here. Thank you so much again to TCI and your listeners for having me on today.
我都好高兴能够再次来到这里啊。
So today we're going to talk about, discuss about a range of issues which is impacting Australians, including the 2026 budget and the future of work, AI and workplace safety as well. So to start off, we would like to have our first questions. So the 2026 federal budget has generated a lot of discussion across Australia. What are your overall thoughts on this year's budget and do you think it addressed the key challenges facing Australians today?
首先，我想问一下，其实2026年联邦预算案最近在澳洲引起不少的讨论，你对于今年的预算案有什么看法呢？你认为它是否回应了澳洲目前主要面临的一些挑战问题呢？
Yeah, so in my view, it's a bad budget for Australia, and I'm clearly not alone in that view, and I have to say I've been inundated with views, perspectives, feedback, and most of all concerns from across my community, and I think that is being voiced across the Australian community. A government budget is a statement of where we are going, where the government obviously is going and spending our tax dollar, but in a sense to lay out a plan for the future. And I think that is actually what is missing here. I mean, what we are seeing is a plan to redistribute wealth, to in effect tax us more and redistribute wealth, not to be generating wealth, not to be growing our economy, not to be lifting up aspiration and serving the essential driver that is aspiration. We want people in Australia to be ambitious, to be driven, to show initiative, to be innovative, to set up companies, to invest and grow and work incredibly hard. But if anything, this budget in all too many respects runs counter to those essentials. And so, yeah, I'm not a supporter of this budget. I don't mean to say that it's all bad, but on balance, this is not the right budget for Australia at this time.
Mm-hmm.Tim James 表示，他认为2026年的联邦预算案并不是澳洲目前所需要的一份预算案。他指出，近期他收到很多来自社区的意见、反馈和忧虑，而他相信这些担忧不单只出现他的选区当中，亦都是正是澳洲社会不同层面反映出来。在他看起来，政府预算案不单只是一份财政文件，亦都不单只是关于政府如何使用纳税人的金钱。预算案更重要的是反映政府希望将国家带向哪一个方向，以及是否有一套正式的未来规划。但 Tim James 认为，一份预算案最缺乏的是一个清楚的未来蓝图。他批评预算案过于着重于财富再分配，而不是创造财富、推动经济增长或者鼓励澳洲人的进取精神。对于 Tim James 来说，进取精神是推动澳洲发展的重要力量之一。他认为澳洲应该鼓励人们有抱负、有动力、有创意、愿意创业和投资、承担风险、努力工作，并为经济发展作出贡献。但他看起来，这份预算案中有太多的内容反而和这些方向背道而驰。Tim James 表示，澳洲需要的是能够鼓励企业精神、奖励努力和创新，并帮助人们向上流动的政策。但他担心这份预算案可能会削弱这些价值。他亦都补充表示，这个不代表预算案中所有的内容都是负面，但整体而言，他认为这个不是澳洲在目前阶段所需要的预算案。
So what do you see as the biggest impact of the budget on families, small business and investor in a broader economy in Australia?
你认为这份预算案将会对于家庭、小型企业、投资者以及整体的经济带来什么样的影响呢？
Yeah, the biggest concern I have with this budget is what it does to aspiration. So what it means for those people who have worked hard and who want to work hard to save and then to apply those savings towards capital, whether it is setting up a business, whether it is buying an investment property, whether it is buying shares in an existing company, whatever their sort of chosen preferred means of investment in capital, we want that. We need that to grow your economy, to grow your country. You need to have the engine room of growth, which is investment. People making those investments, seeing the opportunity, willing to risk their funds, their hard work, their monies, their effort, and hopefully to see a return. But that's the concern I have now, is that this is in so many ways a killer of aspiration, because it takes away from the right to earn, I think, a fair return on that capital, bearing in mind, as we must, that the income people are using to invest that capital, they've already paid tax on the income as it comes in. So there's almost an argument to say, well, this is double taxation. And I do not think it is right that labour and capital should be taxed entirely the same way. They are two different things. And I think economically, there are big risks and consequences for this country, including the risk, as I've heard from a number of business people, that they simply make the choice to go elsewhere. I mean, Australia now has the least attractive capital gains tax system in the world, in effect. And as I said recently, openly and publicly, a capital is very mobile, and people can and will take their money, take those investments, and indeed take those businesses offshore. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the real risks and prospects now with this budget coming in. I note that Labor do not seem willing to listen, do not seem willing to compromise, do not seem willing to find a better path. In spite of the feedback, they can hear and read and see that feedback. It's overwhelmingly concerning. But they seem to want to stick to their guns. And I think that is actually a grave, grave concern for aspiration and growth and enterprise in this country.
Mm-hmm. 添 James 表示，佢最担心嘅系份预算案对于澳洲人嘅进取精神、投资意欲以及经济增长所造成嘅影响。佢认为澳洲需要更多愿意努力工作、储蓄同将储蓄投入经济活动嘅人。依投资可以系好多形式，有啲人可能会创办企业，有啲人可能会购买投资物业，有啲人可能会投资股票，亦都有啲人会将资金投入现有嘅公司。喺 Tim 睇起嚟，呢啲资本投资正系推动经济增长嘅重要引擎。佢指出，一个国家要发展就需要有人愿意用自己的金钱、努力和时间去承担风险，并希望透过投资获得合理的回报。但他认为这份预算案会令到这些事情变得更加困难。Tim James 表示，很多的澳洲人用来投资的资金其实都是来自他们已经工作赚取并且已经缴纳所得税的收入。如果政府再对投资回报施加更高的税务负担，某种程度上可能会被视为双重课税。他也认为劳动收入和资本投资不应该在税务上完全等同去对待，因为两者在经济中扮演的角色并不一样。Tim James 警告，如果澳洲再变得不再吸引投资者，这份预算案可能会带来更加严重的经济后果。他特别提到，资本流动性非常之高，投资者和企业主可能会将资金、投资项目甚至是整个企业转移到海外市场。他表示，他已经听到一些商界人士表达类似的担忧，譬如说如果澳洲的投资环境变差，他们可能会考虑其他地方的发展。在他看起上来，这个正是预算案中带来其中一个巨大的影响风险。他也批评联邦工党政府，认为政府面临的社区和商界强烈反馈的时候，似乎并不愿意聆听、妥协或者寻求更好的政策方案。对 Tim James 而言，更大的问题是，这份预算案可能在澳洲最需要进取精神、企业精神和经济增长的时候，反而削弱了这些力量。
So turning to your portfolio, so we know that artificial intelligence is rapidly changing the way we work and do business right now. How do you see AI transforming Australian workplace over the next decades?
咁转到你嘅职务范围。我们知道人工智能正是迅速改变我们的工作和营商方式。你认为在10年未来里面， AI 将会如何去改变澳洲的工作场所呢？
Look, I see AI in a very positive frame. Yes, we know that there are some risks to some roles, and I think we've got to be realistic about that and sensible about that, but let's not be alarmist about it. For the most part, in my view, AI will be improving the quality of work, how we work. It will take out so many of those, if you like, more administrative, more mechanical, more menial tasks that people perhaps currently are needing to do. And so in so many ways, I think it's an enabler of More thinking, more rigor, more challenge, I think ultimately more creativity, because people should be freed up to do their best work and to bring their best and to bring, if you like, the very best of themselves, their humanity, their spirit, their ideas and their innovation. And so I'm actually naturally positive about AI, but there is an important role for government, I think, to harness it, to guide it, in a sense to govern it to the extent you can, but if you like to set some guardrails. And I think that's, to be honest, in this country today, under governments, state and federal Labor, I think we are actually well behind on AI. If you look at some other Western developed nations in Europe in particular, but the Americas as well, you can see a more forward-looking approach, more planning, more strategy, more insight, more wisdom, more willingness to take on, to adapt and to adopt AI. But I think in this country we're falling behind, and I think part of that is that sort of sentiment that says, if you like, on the Labor side of politics, this is going to displace jobs, this is bad, this is negative, it's got risks for roles, for you know, people, for union members or otherwise. And I think, look, let's get with the program. We can't have our heads in the sand. We've got to be forward-looking. And yes, there are challenges, but I think there are enormous opportunities from AI, and I'm really positive about them.
Mm-hmm. 讲到去人工智能发展的时候 ,Tim James 表示自己整体对于 AI 持有相当正面的看法，并相信这项技术将会大幅改变未来十年的工作模式。他承认部分的工作岗位确实可能受到人工智能的影响，但他认为社会不应该过分恐慌，也不应该将 AI 视为单纯的威胁。在他看来，人工智能最主要的作用是接手大量重复性、行政性以及程序化的工作。目前不少的员工每日都需要花费大量的时间处理文书、数据整理及各类型的例行工作，而未来这些工作很多可以由 AI 协助完成。Tim James 认为，当人工智能能够承担这些较机械化的工作之后，人们就能够将更多的时间精力放在思考、分析、创意以及解决问题等的更高价值之上。他表示 AI 最大的优势就是令到人们有机会专注于发挥自身最擅长的能力。在他看起来，人工智能并不是要取代人类，而是帮助人类更有效地发挥创意、判断力、洞察力以及创新能力。Tim James 形容 AI 是一项能够提升生产力和改善工作素质的重要工具，不过他同时认为政府必须在这个过程中发挥作用。他表示政府需要建立适当的监管框架和保障措施，确保 AI 的发展符合社区利益，同时亦都不会阻碍创新。Tim James 也表示，相较于部分的欧洲国家以及北美国家，澳洲在 AI 发展策略的方面其实很落后。他认为其他国家已经早已制定长远的规划，投入资源研究以及推动相关的产业，而澳洲仍然处于较慢的发展阶段。他指出，部分的政治人物过于着重 AI 对工作的威胁和风险，但忽略了人工智能所带来的巨大机遇。在 Tim James 看起来，澳洲不能够在这场技术革命中视而不见，而必须要积极适应未来快速变化的全球经济环境。
In terms of, you mentioned about the government roles, the roles of governments, and how can the current governments can embrace new technology while protecting the jobs and workers, in this case we are using AI, like entering a workplace.
咁随住人工智能喺工作场所越嚟越普及，政府又系如何喺拥抱新嘅科技时候保障工人嘅就业机会同权益嘅咧？
Yeah, well, importantly, I think government needs to lead by example and to be a demonstrator of how AI can be harnessed. In New South Wales, for example, the biggest employer by far is the public sector. And I don't think, all due respect, I don't think we've seen a lot of adoption and uptake and interest in AI in the New South Wales public sector. I think we should, because I don't doubt there are plenty of systems, processes, elements of work that could be strengthened, could be improved, could be made more efficient through the use of AI. So I think for government to be a leader in it would be positive. And again, when you look at some other countries, like I remember looking at this some time ago, Canada as a country, you know, not dissimilar to Australia in a number of ways, it had a national AI strategy back in about 2017. I think Australia has just adopted one in the last 12 months. And in a sense, we are very late to the party. but better late than never. And I think that government needs to show that leadership and in a sense to dispel some of those myths and to say, look, we can make this work. Yes, there are some challenges along the way, but we can make it work. And we, the government, are willing to show you how we can do just that and work with the private sector, obviously, which will be in terms of the innovation, you know, the go forward. Much of it will come from the private sector, but the government cannot afford to fall behind. We just can't afford to have government falling behind as AI is moving so and growing so incredibly quickly.
讲到去政府应该如何平衡科技发展同保障工人权益嘅时候 ，Tim James 认为政府必须要扮演领导者嘅角色，而唔单止系监管者。佢表示政府应该以身作则，向社会展示如何有效以及有负责任咁样去使用人工智能，而唔系单纯咁企喺旁边制定规则。Tim James 指出，以新州为例，公共部门是全州最大的雇主，因此政府本身就有责任积极探索 AI 的应用方式。他认为人工智能可以帮助政府改善服务、简化行政程序以及提升整体效率。而他坦言自己目前并没有看到政府这方面展现足够的积极性和紧迫性。Tim James 以加拿大为例指出，加拿大早在2017年已经推出全国人工智能发展策略，而澳洲直到近年来才开始建立类似的框架。在他看起来，澳洲在这场科技变革的反应速度明显偏慢。他认为政府除了应用 AI 改善自身运作之外，也都应该协助企业和员工了解如何善用这项技术。他表示，如果政府能够展现成功的案例，将会有助于消除社会对于 AI 的部分疑虑。他认为人工智能并不一定代表大量的职位流失，而是可以透过合理规划和管理，成为提升工作效率和竞争力的主要工具。虽然他承认科技转型过程中一定会出现挑战，但他认为这些挑战应该被管理和解决，而不是成为拒绝改变的理由。Tim James 强调，未来创新大部分是来自私人企业，但如果政府无法跟上科技发展的步伐，澳洲亦都难以保持国际的竞争力。
Mm-hmm, agree. AI is one of the most rapidly growing industry right now in the current century.
Yes.
So moving onwards, the New South Wales government has recently expanded union powers into workplace safety matters. Do you think this reform strike the right balance between protecting workers and supporting businesses?
新州政府最大扩大了工会在工作场所安全事务上的权力。你认为这些改革是否在保障工人权益和支持企业之间取得适当的平衡呢？
No, in short, I don't. So just to paint the picture for your listeners and viewers, this is about a new law that's just come in under the New South Wales State Labor Government, whereby union officials, but others too, but particularly union officials, would have a right to enter into any workplace to access their digital work systems. Now, they've said they need to have that right because they're concerned about workers' rights and safety and how rostering and work conditions and so on are imposed upon staff. But digital work systems these days are everywhere. It is your payroll system, your accounting system, your banking, financial, and like every system, in a sense, of every business is now potentially at risk from a union official walking in. And the concern we have is that it gets used in a sense as some sort of tool or weapon potentially to meet some other purpose or some other agenda. I don't doubt, by the way, there will be some legitimate exercises in terms of how staff rostering decisions are taken, how people are asked to commit their time to certain processes or otherwise. And yes, workplace health and safety is so fundamentally important, but the existing system already contained those rights of access to uphold work health and safety in New South Wales. This whole new law, which is focused on these digital work systems, takes it to a whole nother level and is in our view out of keeping with what is necessary and certainly out of keeping with what we're seeing in other parts of the world.
讲到新州政府近期扩大工会在工作场所安全方面的权利的时候， Tim James 明确表示，他认为有关的改革并没有保障工人权益和支持企业之间取得适当的平衡。他指出新法例赋予工会更大的权力，在特定的情况下进入企业的数码工作系统进行查阅。支持改革的人认为，现代工作场所越来越依赖数码系统管理员工的排班、工作安排以及雇佣条件，因此工会需要相应的权力去监管和保障工人权益。不过 Tim James 认为，新州政府这次改革已经超出实际的需求， 佢表示，现代嘅企业数码工作系统几乎涵盖所有嘅营运环节，除咗员工排班系统之外，包括薪酬系统、会计系统、财务记录以及各类型嘅商业管理平台。Tim James担心，当工会涌入进入呢啲系统嘅权利之后，可能会接触到大量同工作无关、安全无关嘅敏感商业资料。佢强调自己完全支持保障工人安全同埋工作权益，但系佢认为现行嘅制度本身已经赋予工会同监管机构足够嘅权力去调查真正涉及工作安全的问题，因此在他看来，这项改革并没有必要，反而可能增加企业经营的风险，甚至有可能被用于工作安全以外的目的。Tim James认为，政府应该在保障工人权益和维持企业正常运作之间取得平衡，而不是进一步增加企业负担和监管压力。
Mm-hmm. I believe a lot of our audience will be concerned about those kind of like overseeing when they are in their workplace.
Yes.
And I think that's also a move to our next questions about the mental health issue. We know that mental health and then psychosocial workplace safety has become the major issue in recent years. So how significant is this challenge and what more can we do to support these workers?
咁讲到呢度，我哋知道其实近年嚟心理健康同心理社会职场安全已经成为重要嘅议题。你认为呢项挑战对于社区嚟讲有几严重呢？政府同企业以及社会有啲乜嘢更好可以支持我哋呢啲员工呢
？Yes, look, we all know how big mental health is as a challenge for our society today, and that is true across our communities.At home, at work, in schools, and just in really every institution across society, mental health is a very real issue and a very real challenge. And so, yes, of course, workplaces need to be sensitive to that, understanding of that. We need to reflect, practices and processes at workplaces that will support good mental health, that will serve, in a sense, the public good. Obviously, there's a private good at workplaces, and finding that balance is just really important. And so good mental health at work matters. No question, it matters. I do say this, though. I think in so many ways, mental health starts at home. I think, in a sense, it starts with us as individuals. There is no question that the government has a duty, a responsibility to uphold certain standards, elements, provisions, requirements as far as good mental health is concerned. But I do think a lot of it ultimately comes back to people, to family, to community, to who we are, how we live, the choices we make, personal responsibility. I think this country needs to focus some more on personal responsibility. So yes, it's a big challenge in policy terms, but I think we can and must take it on, but we need to be also careful not to go too far, as in we can't expect bosses to become psychologists. We can't expect, colleagues to all have, in effect, sort of, deep mental health qualifications. Everything has to find a balance. I think we've got to be able to make that work, and that's really important for policymakers to realise that.
Mm-hmm.讲到近年嚟越嚟越受关注嘅心理健康同心理社会职场安全问题 ，Tim James 表示，毫无疑问，心理健康已经成为澳洲社区面临最大嘅挑战之一。佢指出，心理健康问题并唔局限于工作场所，而系影响家庭、学校、社区以及整个社会。Tim James 认为，企业确实有责任建立健康同具有支持性嘅工作环境，令到员工能够喺良好嘅状态下工作同发展。但佢同时表示，心理健康唔应该被视为单纯嘅工作场所问题，喺佢睇起上嚟，心理健康好多时候源自于更加深层嘅个人同埋社会因素。除咗工作环境之外，家庭关系、社区支持、人际网络、个人生活方式以及个人责任等等，同样对心理健康有影响。Tim James 特别提及，强大嘅家庭支持同健康嘅社区连结，往往系维持良好心理健康嘅最重要基础。佢认为政府应该继续推动心理健康教育，提高社会关注度，同时确保工作场所具备合理嘅支援同保障措施。然而，佢亦都提醒社会唔好将所有责任放喺企业身上。佢表示，企业管理层毕竟唔系心理医生，亦都唔系专业辅导员。同樣的是，同事之間亦不可能完全承擔專業的心理健康服務角色，因此他看起上來最重要的是平衡，既要重視心理健康的問題，亦都要確保相關的政策切合實際的情況，不要對企業和工作場所造成不合理的要求。他認為 是改善心理健康需要政府、企业、家庭以及社区共同的努力，而不是单一制度或者单一机构去解决所有的问题的。
Some of them challenge as well. Mental health issues getting increasingly rapidly an issue since after the pandemic. A lot of employers have to adopt more flexible working arrangements, including work from home or hybrid working, or even now we got a 4 days work in a row. So how do you think these changes are affecting workplace culture and productivity and employment well-being?
在疫情之后，许多的企业采取了更加弹性的工作安排，包括在家工作以及一些混合办公模式。另外，这些改变如何去影响工作文化、生产力以及员工的福祉呢？还有什么措施可以帮助大家呢？
Yeah, I think there's a range of answers to that. Working from home, hybrid models, different working arrangements and structures, and yes, even the working week, they can be good. They can work. But again, it needs to be done in balance. It needs to uphold, what is the focus upon outcomes, upon what the workplace is seeking to bring about, to generate, to build, to work, to grow. I think it does have a big impact on culture. People in years gone by, before, in a sense, COVID, before a lot of the working from home, there is a reason why we had workplaces, offices, plants, buildings where people would go to work. There is a reason why we did that. And those reasons are self-evident. But of course, part of them do go to culture, to how we learn, how we interact, how we grow, how we understand. And I think there's a risk of and a reality of some of that missing if we have people in different locations, different sort of spaces, more fragmented in working together. But it's horses for courses. In the end, my view is let's find for each workplace what is the best arrangement that will meet the needs of the workplace, the people, the culture, the organisation. And I think we've got to be very careful not to be too prescriptive about it must be this or that or this set of hours or otherwise. I think, in a sense, every workplace is different and every person is unique too. So I think it's largely up to those leaders to find how they strike that balance and how they can best do so.
Team James 表示，这个问题其实没有一个简单的答案。他认为不同的企业、不同行业以及不同的工作性质都有各自面对的挑战和需求，因此很难以用同一套标准去衡量所有工作场所。他承认在家工作以及混合办公模式，甚至在近年来开始讨论的四天工作制，都为不少员工带来好处。根据弹性的工作安排，可以帮助家庭员工照顾家庭，减少通勤时间，并且改善工作和生活之间的平衡。不过认为这些安排同时必须要兼顾企业的实际需求以及工作成果和生产力等的因素。 Tim James 指出，传统办公室之所以存在，其实是原因的。在疫情之前，人们会去到办公室、工作场所以及其他工作环境上班，并不是偶然，而是因为这些面对面的交流本身具有重要的价值。他认为企业文化往往是日常互动之中建立起来，许多的学习机会、团体、团队工作以及人际关系都是透过每日的交流、讨论以及共同的工作慢慢形成的。当员工长时间分散在不同的地点工作的时候，这些原本自然形成的文化和联系可能会逐步减少。如果员工之间缺乏实际的接触，企业文化都可能变得更加分散，甚至削弱团队的合作能力。不过他并不支持由政府硬性规定所有的企业采取某一种的工作模式。他认为每间企业都有不同的文化，每位员工也都有不同的需求，因此最适合的安排应该由企业和团队自行安排。
Some argue as well. They said that hybrid and different kind of works arrangement, including work from home, will have a highly impact on the social economy. Do you agree on that?
有些人认为在家工作、混合办公以及其他弹性工作的安排，正是对整体社会和经济产生深远的影响。你又认不认同这种看法呢？
Yeah, I do. And I think you can see that it's very real. I mean, the working week for a lot of people now is sort of Monday, Friday, work from home, come into the city, for example, but not necessarily just the city, but, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You can see it in traffic patterns. You can see it in economic sort of output. You can see it in how much people are socializing, coming together, spending their money, going to the cafe, the restaurant, you know, maybe the event after work. And so much of our city, you know, in terms of sort of culture and business and enterprise was just built on, if you like, a normal sort of working week. So, I mean, for certain businesses in the CBD particularly, that has been enormously challenging. At the same time, it's actually, for many people in the suburbs, it's probably presented, you know, opportunity for sort of more local engagement and, you know, for local cafes, restaurants, perhaps it's been very good. So, of course, there are ups and downs, as there are with just about everything. But again, I think it's trying to find that balance and trying to get what is the best possible outcome. Again, recognising what's good for the organisation, the people, but yes, also there are considerations for our city, our greater culture and business as well, and they're important considerations. And I think the effort that's being made to grow, if you like, the nighttime economy, the 24-hour economy even, that's overwhelmingly a good thing, to give people choice, opportunity, freedom and reason, you know, to go out, to come out, to be, if you like, more sociable. I always think people need people. I think we are inherently social beings. And yes, I well understand the desire of many to work from home, but I think there's a lot to be said for, you know, getting out from behind the desk at home and coming out, being with your colleagues, friends and communities outside of the office.
Mm-hmm. Tim James 表示，佢確實認為混合辦公模式正係對整體經濟同社會產生深遠嘅影響㗎。工作模式嘅改變正係影響整個社區同埋經濟影響。佢表示，目前有唔少員工選擇星期一或者星期五在家工作，而星期二至到四先翻到辦公室。呢啲變化已經反映喺交通流量、公共運輸嘅使用率以及消費模式之上。Tim James 特別提到，悉尼市中心唔少依賴上班族消費嘅商户喺疫情後一直面臨巨大嘅壓力。許多嘅咖啡店、餐廳以及零售商因為辦公室人流減少而受到影響。而另一方面，一啲位於住宅區嘅商户因為更多嘅居民留喺社區活動而受惠。因此，佢認為問題唔單止係工作模式本身，而係點樣喺員工福祉、生產力、社企業文化以及經濟之间取得平衡。Tim James仲补充，虽然好多人中意喺屋企工作嘅自由同方便，但佢始终认为人与人之间嘅面对面交流系好重要噶。喺佢睇起上嚟，人类本身系社会性动物，走出家门同同事见面，参与社区生活同建立人际关系，仍然系健康工作环境同健康社会不可或缺嘅一部分。
So looking ahead, what do you see as the biggest challenges facing New South Wales over the next few years? And what should government be prioritizing to ensure the state remains competitive?
展望未来几年，你认为新州将要面临哪一些最重要的挑战呢？政府又应该优先推动什么政策才能够保持新州、保持繁荣和竞争力呢？
I think there are three key challenges as I see them. One is infrastructure, two is housing, three is productivity, and they are inherently interrelated. Let's start with infrastructure, because in so many ways that is the key. If we are to unlock more housing, which we need to do as a country, then you've got to have the infrastructure that enables that growth, that facilitates the essential services, the water, the healthcare, the schools, the roads, the public space, the public transport, and so much more. That is so important. And I've seen firsthand in my own area, of course, in Chatswood and Crows Nest, how much that metro has transformed how we live, how we get around, the choices people make, their lifestyle, their schedule. And it's been amazing. And this city still has, and this state still has a lot of work to do in terms of building that sort of city shaping and life-changing infrastructure. We've got a lot more of that to do. But the truth is, at the moment, under present governments, state and federal, there is a cliff coming beyond which those current projects that are being worked on, most of which, to be fair, we sort of earmarked and funded, designed and put into being as projects in government, when they are finished, there's not the next generation, the next chapter of big infrastructure projects. We are seeing that in other parts of Australia. In Queensland, for example, there's a big commitment to infrastructure up there. But from New South Wales, I fear that cliff is coming, and that in turn then generates the lag in terms of not just projects, but in terms of capability, capacity, having the workers, having having the means, the machines, the investment to build, but we do need to build. And so that in turn will affect housing. And then the productivity challenge affects every part of the economy and partly goes to AI. I think that is one of the key drivers for us to seek to become more productive. But we need government that is willing to take on that productivity challenge. This country is lagging in that space right now. I'm a natural optimist. I love Australia and I think our best days are ahead of us, but that's up to us. It's up to leaders in business, government and community to create the conditions in which we can be more productive. We can invest, we can grow, we can build, we can get it done, but in a manner that is generating a more productive outcome. That is so important, as any economist will tell you, and I think anyone in government would tell you, productivity is a key to a better, brighter future for all of us. So again, infrastructure, housing and productivity, that is what we need to see a big focus on in New South Wales. And to be honest, at the moment, it doesn't feel like there is a plan, in a sense, for any of those three. This government is trying to move the dial on housing, but it isn't working so well. Our numbers are, in fact, going backwards. We're building about half, just over half the number of homes that we need to build. So we've got a lot of work to do. But if we get the right settings, the right vision, the right pathways on infrastructure, housing and productivity, that will go a long way towards improving our standard of living, how we accommodate growth, how we build, and ultimately how we lift up the lives of our state's residents.
展望未来数年， Tim James 成为新州最重要的三项挑战，分别是基础建设、房屋供应以及生产力。他表示这三项议题彼此密切相关，并将会直接影响新州未来的经济发展和竞争力。首先， Tim James 成为基础建设是所有发展的基础，如果新州希望容纳更多的人口并参加并增加住房供应，就必须要首先确保配套跟上。这些基础建设包括公共交通、道路、医院、学校、供水系统、公园以及其他的公共服务设施。他认为若缺乏足够的基础建设支援，即使规划更多的房屋项目，亦都难以真正满足社区需求。Tim James 特别提到悉尼地铁项目，他表示 Metro 已经彻底改变 Chesswood、Crossness 等地区居民的生活方式和交通模式，亦都展现出大型的基础投资所带来的深远影响。不过他同时担心，目前有很多正在进行的大型基建工程，其实都是多年前已经规划和拨款的项目。到这些项目陆续完成的时候，新州未来是否仍有下一个阶段的大型基础建设计划接棒，仍是一个值得关注的问题。他警告，如果出现基建的投资断层，不单止会影响经济发展，也会影响建筑能力、技术人才培养以及未来的住房供应。而讲到房屋问题， Tim James 认为新州目前明显面临着住房短缺的问题。他指出，现时新州兴建房屋的速度远低于实际的需求，大约只达到所需要的数量的一半左右。如果这些情况持续下去，住房负担能力问题将会难以改善。而第三项重要的挑战则是生产力。Tim James 认为，生产力增长是推动经济发展和提高生活水平最重要的因素之一。他指出，澳洲近年来的生产力方面已经落后于部分竞争对手，因此必须要重新重视这个问题。而他看起上来，人工智能以及其他新科技正是提升生产力的重要工具，但真正要发挥这些优势，政府必须要建立有利于投资、创新和企业发展的环境。挑战面临于不少的挑战， Tim James 表示依然对澳洲未来表示乐观。他相信澳洲拥有巨大的潜力，而且最好的发展阶段仍在前方。不过要实现愿景，政府和企业以及社区都必须要共同努力。Tim James 认为，新州能够妥善解决基础建设、房屋供应以及生产力三大问题，未来能够提升生活水平，并为下一代创造更多的机会。
I think that's conclude our interview today. Very good conclusion.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much. So thank you for your time and sharing your thoughts today with
us. My pleasure.
And we're hoping to having you soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
咁我哋今次訪問時間差唔多，多謝你嘅分享同總結啊。各位聽眾，我哋本節訪問時間差唔多，我哋下個星期再見，拜拜。